The Company 1025, 1063 of the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Today we are live at First Horizon Park, where the Nashville Sounds on Throwback Thursday are taking on the Norfolk Tide, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles, 6:35. Come on out. We are so happy to be out at the ballpark for what is a fabulous, fabulous day. It looks like it should be a fabulous. Hold on, let me check my phone here to see, make sure that the weather will be nice tonight. There's a chance of some thunderstorms tonight. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. A beautiful day for baseball here on the program. The chairman of the board, David Reed, is here with us. Hello, Reed.
Good afternoon, sir.
A little disappointed after Reed's judging yesterday in Jared versus Joe, but I can live with
disappointed
it.
Disappointed in yourself or with me? Because should be yourself. Oh, okay.
Your judging yesterday has me disappointed, but we may be introducing a new segment here at some point today with the chairman of the board, David Reed. So I'm going to start with this. Saturday, the Titans open up rookie minicamp. TD will be here in 30 minutes. TD will be on the program in 30 minutes. We'll have a kind of an abbreviated TD Power Hour. Because TD's got a very compact schedule, especially with rookie minicamp right around the corner. So Cam Ward starts rookie minicamp this weekend with the Titans. And I have to admit, I know you people think I'm going to come on here today and I'm going to say something bad about Cam Ward because everyone's like, every day you always say bad things about Cam Ward and we want to hear good things about Cam Ward and we want to, but I'm not going to say that. I am kind of excited to see what it'll look like because Cam Ward, for the first time, when it's not photoshopped, will be in a Titans uniform. Cam Ward will be practicing at St. Thomas Sports Park in a Titan uniform. Cam Ward will not be throwing to Miami receivers against, the ACC opponents, but he'll be throwing to Chimre DK and Elik Iomanner and Gunnar Helm and all of those guys. I'm kind of excited about that. Like, I'm actually kind of excited for this entire thing to start. And I'm excited about what it'll look like. And other than that, as far as rookie mini camp is concerned, I don't think they're going to really do much. You know, it's funny when it comes to rookie mini camp because it's really more of an orientation than it is like some sort of competitive, okay, we're going to make big decisions and decide who's what and who our good players are and all that kind of stuff. They don't actually do that at rookie minicamp. You know, every now and then at rookie minicamp, they'll have guys that are trying to make the 90-man roster that'll be invited on a tryout basis. For those guys, rookie minicamp's kind of important. For everybody else, it's really not that big of a deal. So it's really more of an orientation, but it will be nice to see him in a Titans uniform for the first time. But there's one thing I want to beg of you all the fans, you all that go on Twitter and say things like, let Rand cook, and that love talking about how great the Titans are going to be in the future. The people who at the end of the season thought this team was drafting Shedeur Sanders with the first overall pick. Let's take it slow with Cam. Let's take everything slow with Cam. And I just want everybody to know one very important thing to me. If I owned the Titans, this is how I would feel. If I was the general manager, this is what I would be stressing to the owner. If I was the head coach, I'd want assurances that this is how both the GM and the owner felt. I don't really care about what happens this upcoming season. I know, it's a year of our lives. We'll never get back. I know, we want to be excited about Titan football on Sundays. I know. But as far as 4 wins, 5 wins, 8 wins, it doesn't matter to me. Could the Titans be the next Houston Texans of 2 years ago or the Washington Commanders of last year? Maybe, but I kind of doubt it. And even if the Titans are the next Washington Commanders, which with the defense and the shape it's in, I would be freaking stunned. But even if you are, what's more important to you as a Titan fan? Is it this upcoming season? Or is it the next 10 to 15 seasons with Cam Ward as your quarterback? Because me personally, I'm worried about the next 10 seasons. I'm worried about making sure that 3 years from now, Cam Ward is where he needs to be so that we're not in the same spot going over, okay, who are the good quarterbacks in this year's class? So let's take it slow. And it's easy to talk before you get into rookie minicamp about wanting to take it slow. It's easy to say you're more concerned about the next 10 years than you are the next 10 games. But here's the thing about discipline. Very few people actually have it. I know I don't. The one thing in my 20s, I look back at how hard I was on myself for the things that I thought or didn't, whatever. And I'm like, man, I used to be so down on myself for not having discipline. And I've realized my lack of discipline, while it drives me crazy in some elements of my life, it's probably a good thing on the radio. Though I do think I'm disciplined at certain things. But very few people actually have discipline. That's why you need people in your life to hold you accountable. When it comes to the Titans, they talk about discipline, about the process and needing to be disciplined and the plans and needing to be disciplined. But then I saw how they ran their team last year. That was not a disciplined team. They need to be disciplined when it comes to the young quarterback. They need to understand that what happens week one hopefully has no bearing, big picture, on what this thing's going to look like. And yet at the same time, I already know what's going to happen this weekend. The stretch portion is open for the media to shoot. So on all the newscasts, you'll see the Titans stretching. You'll see Cam Ward running around a little bit. But none of the interesting stuff they'll be able to shoot. But the Titans will have their own video crews there, and they'll be shooting everything. And there will be a pass that Cam Ward throws down the field that will hit Elik Aomanor in stride for a touchdown on air, and you people are going to be saying, that's Cam Ward. Come on, baby. And I have no problem with that. I already know. I haven't even looked at the text line. I'm sure someone's going to say, Jared, why you got piss in the cereal today? That's not what I'm doing here. But what I am saying is this. When it comes to the Titans, and when it comes to the idea of being patient with the young quarterback, watching a touchdown thrown in rookie minicamp on air is exactly the kind of thing that starts to get people excited about a reality that may not exist right now. And even if it does exist right now, again, does it really matter? Because we're worried about the next 10 years, the next 15 years. The coach has said there's going to be a competition at training camp. Nobody believes him. I certainly don't believe him, but they've said it. Well, if everybody gets all worked up over rookie minicamp, or everybody just wants Cam to be the guy today, they want it right now, they don't have the discipline, they're going to start yelling and screaming when Brandon Allen is taking first team reps. And if you think it is impossible to have this sort of excitement ruin a quarterback's development or ruin a team's plan, I remind you of what the Chicago Bears did 4 years ago. They signed Andy Dalton to be their starting quarterback. They traded up in the first round by dealing a future first round pick to draft Justin Fields out of Ohio State. And the Bears said, Andy Dalton sucks. Even though Matt Nagy, the head coach at the time, the guy who was head coach or was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City when they got Patrick Mahomes, said, Andy Dalton's our starting quarterback. They put up a picture of Andy Dalton. It said QB1. And the Bears fans were pissed. We don't want to see Andy Dalton. He sucks. So by the middle of the year, they were losing, and the fans got their wish. Put in Fields. Justin Fields wasn't ready. Then they changed the coach because, well, he's going to ruin Justin Fields. Brought in a whole new offensive coordinator. Said, okay, this is what we're going to do. They hurt the development of Justin Fields because they got impatient. When it comes to the Titans and when it comes to the Titan fans, again, the deal's done. They drafted him. I wouldn't have done it, but they did. But please be patient with this quarterback. The one thing that they kept saying, remember that Tom Pelissero piece where that assistant coach said he met with Shedeur Sanders and it was the worst interview of his life? And people got mad at this unnamed assistant coach as if he wasn't telling the truth. And then we saw Shedeur fall in the draft and I'm like, oh, probably was telling the truth. They said Cam's got the talent. Cam's got the work ethic. Cam's got the desire, but it's going to take some time. Cam needs work. So again, I stress to the team and I stress to you, if this is going to work, you have to be patient. Look at day one of rookie minicamp on Saturday for what it is. Rookie minicamp. Don't get too excited. Don't, if he throws a bunch of balls that sail over people's head, don't get too down. Lamar Jackson, his rookie year, played in a preseason game on Monday Night Football, and it looked like Lamar Jackson couldn't throw. Take it slow with Cam Ward. Take it slow with your expectations. Take it slow with your excitement. Because as Olivia Amato, the Peloton instructor with whom's class I took this morning, like she said, the things that make you better are done in the dark when nobody sees. It's what everybody wants in the light. So we got to be patient. We got to be patient. Don't get too excited. Don't get too carried away. Don't get too anything. And I promise I'll be the same on the other side. I'm not going to get too negative based on what happens at rookie minicamp or a preseason game, unless they do something stupid like run the option with Cam Ward and get him obliterated. Deal? 615-737-1025. That's our phone number. That's how we're starting. 615-737-1025. And I have a question. Because Brian Callahan has left the door open. You may think he's lying, and I kind of think he's lying, but Brian Callahan has cracked that door open to this idea that Cam Ward may lose the quarterback competition and Will Levis or Brandon Allen, or I'd be stunned by this, but Tim Boyle might be the starting quarterback. But I do have a question for everybody that has a problem with that. We'll do it next. Live from First Horizon Park, where the Sounds take on Norfolk tonight, it's Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game. If you were out on the field at rookie minicamp and you were analyzing Cam Ward, what in particular would you be looking at and trying to say, okay, he's either got it or he doesn't. At this point in time, what would you be looking for?
Well, first of all, the operation. I mean, he needs to get people in and out of the huddle and into the right formations and all those things. But that's sort of a basic fundamental. First thing I want him to do is protect the ball, because Will Levis had so many epic turnovers last year during games and really struggled during the off-season and preseason camps against his own defense, that if Cam Ward tries to show everybody what an amazing arm he has and ends up throwing it to his own defense in practice too much, there will be a healthy degree of institutional here-we-go-again-ism. And he needs to show he can protect the ball. He needs to show he can protect himself. And really, in order to be the starter on day one, if he can't protect himself, he shouldn't start. And that means he needs to get into the right play, see the defense pre-snap and check into out of bad plays and into a good play. He needs to be able to check the right to the right protection based on what he sees pre-snap on the defense. And he needs to know where his answers are. In other words, if things break down and pressure's coming, he needs to know right now where his outlets are and which outlets are likely to be open based on what the coverage is. So those are the things I want to see from him first.
That was Trevor yesterday, or excuse me, on Tuesday on the program. That was Trevor talking about Cam Ward. Now, all those things at rookie minicamp, like, is Cam Ward going to be able to? You're not going to know about that. Like, it's going to take a little bit of time before you know whether or not Cam Ward, you know, knows the protection well enough to not get himself killed or is smart enough not to try to throw the ball to the other team. Again, those things will happen. And I've said this time and time again when it comes to Cam Ward, and I've said you got to be patient with Cam Ward. And it's funny because there wasn't a lot of pushback when it came into the text line about me saying, hey, let's all be patient with Cam Ward. Let's take a big breath and say, let's be patient with this young quarterback. Let's not demand right away that this young quarterback all of a sudden become Peyton Manning. But then when you talk about Brian Callahan bringing up the idea that there's going to be an open competition at training camp, one that seems so laughable given the fact that they're including Tim Boyle in the potential battle. I don't have a problem with this, but every time the fans hear this, they go nuts. Every time you bring up the idea of, well, what about starting Will Levis? No! Well, what about starting Brandon Allen? Oh, Brandon Allen, he sucks. And as you know, I am in favor of sitting Cam Ward on the bench. I believe in sitting young quarterbacks. Again, you don't have to sit him the whole season. And maybe he gets out to training camp and in the preseason, and we realize, including me, yeah, he's ready to play. But I am in favor of sitting young quarterbacks because the greatest quarterback who ever lived, Tom Brady, sat on the bench. The best quarterback in the NFL right now, Patrick Mahomes, sat on the bench. Aaron Rodgers has four MVPs. He sat on the bench. Steve McNair is the best quarterback the Titans have ever had. He sat on the bench. So, again, I don't think it's a coincidence that all these really, really, really good quarterbacks sat on the bench. Now, there are guys that didn't sit on the bench. Peyton Manning didn't sit on the bench. Jaden Daniels didn't sit on the bench. Joe Burrow didn't sit on the bench. But I do think that you're better off sitting the quarterback on the bench. Nobody ever does that anymore, but that's what I believe. So every time that comes up, Titan fans get super, super offended. If I were to say, well, I think Brandon Allen should be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans because I am more worried about the next 10 years than I am worried about the next 10 games, you people still get mad. And all I have to ask is, what's the worst thing that can happen if you sit Cam Ward on the bench? What's the worst thing that can happen? Because people say, well, it's different, Jared. When Patrick Mahomes sat on the bench, that team had Alex Smith. It's different, Jared. When Tom Brady sat on the bench, he was a sixth-round rookie. And the main guy, Drew Bledsoe, was the starting quarterback. This team has Brandon Allen, as if it's so different. If this team had gone out and signed Daniel Jones in free agency and it said, okay, well, we're going to sit Cam for Daniel Jones. It's not. Again, what's the worst thing that can happen in that instance? I believe the worst thing that can happen is you lose some games. So, again, we're more worried about the next 10 years than we are the next 10 minutes. Now, let's do the other side of this. You rush Cam Ward out there because we picked him number one and he's got to play. And everything that all these guys have said about, hey, it's going to take some time developing the quarterback. Mike Borgonzi saying there has to be a plan in place when referencing what they did in Kansas City. All these other guys, they don't know, but he's our guy. We picked him number one and he's got to play. Now what's the worst that can happen? Oh, you can ruin him. So if you sit him on the bench, which again, I am willing to watch training camp practice. I am willing to watch the preseason games. And I'm willing to say that if I feel comfortable with Cam Ward out there, then I'll put him out there. But I'm not today. Where I sit right now, I am not interested in you just telling me Cam has to start. I'm not saying Cam has to earn it from the standpoint that Cam has to go out there and be better than Will Levis on day one. Cam has to be better than Brandon Allen on day one, because he's probably not going to be better than those guys on day one. More talented than those guys, yes. Ready to play in an NFL game, no. But Cam's got to prove to me that if I put him out there, he's not going to ruin that great talent that he has. And the way I look at it is, what's the worst that can happen if Brandon Allen plays quarterback? Well, the fans get upset about it on social media, and you get embarrassed on Sunday when Mahomes comes in and Brandon Allen can't beat him. What's the worst that happens if you play Cam before he's ready? You could ruin him. And I don't understand how nobody else, or I wouldn't say nobody else, but I do not understand how people are offended at the idea that you could ruin a quarterback when we see quarterbacks ruined all the time. Again, does Justin Fields suck, or did the Chicago Bears ruin him? Andrew Luck won 30 less games than Ryan Tannehill. Nobody would have projected that when they were drafted, but Indianapolis ruined him. So I'm very protective of the quarterback. TD with an abbreviated TD Power Hour is next. We'll have 30 minutes. We'll talk rookie minicamp, and then we'll get right to your phones. 615-737-1025. We're live from First Horizon Park. Stillman & Company on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company live out at First Horizon Park. Again, the Sound's taking on the Norfolk Tide tonight at 6:35. A special early edition of the TD Power Hour with minicamp right around the corner. TD Teron Davenport joining us now on the program. So TD, let's get right into it. Rookie minicamp starts this weekend. It'll be the first time we see Cam Ward in a Titans uniform and a Titans helmet throwing to Titans receivers. What's your excitement level?
Oh, I mean, it's 1,000. It's the first time you get to see the franchise, right, that's resting on that right shoulder. You get to see what he could do, and obviously the excitement is there to see Xavier Restrepo. It's going to be a fun time, man, and it's crazy that, you know, an undrafted free agent is the second most popular player on the rookie minicamp roster, but, hey, it is what it is.
I do wonder, you know, when it comes to the actual rookie minicamp, I feel like just from having covered rookie minicamp the last couple of years, it's really more an orientation than it is like a competition kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you're always, anytime, don't get it twisted, anytime you set foot on the field, you're competing. But it is an orientation in that this is the first impression, right? This is the first date. You know, you've gone through the whole process of you know, identifying each other. Now you selected each other, and now it's time to go out on that date. And this is an opportunity for these guys to make their mark. And I've seen guys, they're like Bryce Oliver. You know, he was someone that, you know, right from the start, you're like, oh, okay, let's see what you can do. Isaiah Iton, he's another one. You know, he's been released since, but I remember going there and seeing him. We're like, dang, who is this dude? And then we all went back and we saw him the next time. We're like, okay, he's continuing. And he ended up on the practice squad. He was active a few weeks. And this is the opportunity to plant that seed.
You know, what's funny is I think it was Malcolm Butler who was at a tryout. And the tryout got him an invite to rookie minicamp.
Yeah.
The invite to rookie minicamp got him on the 90-man roster. And then he ends up picking off a pass, you know, to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I do. What are your expectations early on for Cam Ward, both in rookie minicamps and then as they start to integrate the rookies in with the veterans and OTAs?
Yeah, well, let's also say this. There will probably be some veteran invites. You know, like last year, Shane Ray was invited, and he was a guy at rookie minicamp, ended up parlaying that to OTAs and minicamp and so on and so forth. So you do have that, but I think what you really want to look for in Cam Ward, get him in and out of the huddle, right? How effectively he could do that, regurgitating the play call, doing those types of things, the leadership that he has on the field, you know, how he's able to address, like, let's say a receiver runs the wrong route. How do you go about showing that you're that leader, right? And the right leader, and that, okay, you got to talk to player X one way, but player Y another. How do you start to learn the way to best be a leader and be a guy that pushes everybody's individual button?
You know, I heard Derek talk about Joe Flacco when he was a rookie in Baltimore and Derek was on the team. And Derek said Joe didn't come in on the first day and say, like, okay, I'm leading the team. Right. Or, you know, that Joe just went about his business. Now, that team had veterans like Derek and like others, especially a lot of successful veterans on the defensive side of the ball, too. I do wonder, because the Titans don't have Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis on the other side and Ed Reed on the other side of the field, does Cam walk in the first day like, all right, guys, you know, let's get behind me? Or is it like, no, Cam just goes about his business early on, kind of gets a feel for everybody. And then, you know, once he technically wins the starting job, once he's in with the starters and we know it's his job, then he starts doing that. How do you see that going down?
I think Cam, just in talking to him, because I asked him specifically about that, you know, like, how do you go into a huddle and you look 10 other guys in the eye, 10 guys that are older than you, and get them to follow you when you say we're going that way? And he said he's not a rah-rah guy. He's not looking to inspire or motivate anybody. And he quite frankly said that if you're someone at this level that needs to be motivated or inspired, then you might not be in the right business. So that tells me that he's more of a lead by example. He's going to go in there, observe, and see everything. I don't think he's going to come in saying, you know, I'm the leader or this, that, and the third. When it's time to speak, I will definitely believe that he will speak. But all the trumpeting and all that stuff, I don't think that's going to happen. That just doesn't seem like that's Cam Ward. He's a guy that's going to show leadership by, you know, knowing everybody's name. It sounds small, but the fact of the matter is when you're out there with a bunch of guys like that and they tell you your name, his name once, and you remember it, it means something. And those are the seeds that I could see him planting as a leader, and then that growing into more as he continues to sink his roots even further into the city.
Hey, Cam, out of it, who are you most excited to see at rookie minicamp outside of Cam?
Oh, it's easy, man. Restrepo. I mean, Restrepo was one of my favorite receivers in this draft. I love the toughness. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely want to see some of the other guys, you know, Alec Iomanner. He's grown on me. The more and more I watch of him, I'm like, okay, this guy actually is kind of tough, you know. So those are two that I would have to say. But if I have to pick one, it's Restrepo.
I got to tell you, I'm excited to see Gunnar Helm. You know, I don't get too into the, you know, well, he got hurt, and so he ran a worse time, and because of that, you know, he fell in the draft. I'm not worried about that. But I'm looking for some consistency TD at tight end. Wiley has shown some flashes, but he gets hurt. Chig has shown some flashes, but he's inconsistent. I mean, Chig caught two touchdowns last year, one at Chicago, one at Houston, that were both incredible feats of his athleticism.
Yeah,
but then he disappears. And so I'm looking for consistency at tight end. So I would kind of circle Helm. What do we think of him?
Yeah, no, Helm is one of those guys, right? A big target, a guy that, you know, knows how to use his leverage. He's going to get open. He's reliable. I'm looking forward to seeing him also. I mean, honestly, the whole group. But when you look at Helm, I think he's going to develop that 12 personnel package. It's going to be pretty nice. You know, and Helm, you can flex him and have him run routes there too.
TD, what do you think about Brian Callahan saying that there's going to be an open competition at quarterback between all four guys? Do you think we're actually going to see the Titans, with the limited amount of OTA reps they have, go into this and say, okay, Levis, you get 5 first-team reps. Allen, you get 5 first-team reps. Cam, you get 5 first-team reps. Or do we think that's all for show? And then once they integrate the rookies, it'll be Cam Ward getting all the first-team reps.
Well, look, just like I said before, you know, I could say it's a nice day, but how nice of a day is it, right? Just the same, you're saying it's a competition, but how intense of a competition is it? You know what I mean? So he said it's a competition. I don't think that necessarily means that the reps are going to be distributed exactly evenly. I think there's going to be opportunities, but make no mistake about it. The four quarterbacks going in, they know who is in line to be the starter. They know what it is, and it's up to them with those reps that they have to make the most of it and try to challenge for more reps. That's really the bottom line. That's how it's going to work.
Do you think the coach has an open mind where if one of these guys outplays Cam, that he would actually consider making that other guy the starting quarterback, or do you think it's pretty much in my, you know, it's like these guys at spring training.
Hey, look,
you
know, it's like
300
this.
And I still didn't make the team.
Yeah, it's like this. Look, remember back in the day when you had the championship fighter, right? You're not going to win a decision over the champ. You know what I mean? You got to knock the champ out in order to take that belt. And I think this is the same situation in that you have to overly convince Brian Callahan that you're the better option right now. That's really what it's going to have to be. And on top of that, there's going to have to be very limited promise from Cam Ward. So I say all that to say, it would be mind-boggling to me if Brandon Allen, no disrespect, Will Levis, or Tim Boyle, they start over Cam Ward.
If that happens, do you think that that's a bad sign for Cam?
It's not a good one. I think it's an incomplete sign for him, right? Because I'm not going to say completely bad, because like maybe the guy needs to go back in the oven and you know, bake a little bit more. I think he could play right away, but I don't think it's a good one. It would mean incomplete.
You know what's funny is I remember watching Hard Knocks when Ryan Tannehill was competing for the starting job in Miami, and David Garrard and Matt Moore were the quarterbacks ahead of him. And I would argue that Garrard and Moore were probably more accomplished at this point in their careers than Levis and Brandon Allen. And Ryan Tannehill didn't even know how to slide. And they were sitting there with David Garrard, and David Garrard was begging him, saying, please slide, please slide. And even then the coaches sat down and said, okay, Ryan Tannehill's the starter. I kind of feel like when it comes to Cam Ward, unless they're afraid that Cam is going to hurt himself by not being able to recognize blitzes or something like that, I find it hard to believe that they would actually put Cam Ward on the bench.
Right. No, and that's exactly the case. It would be something that would really surprise me. But I'll say this, because I know there's questions about the quote-unquote plan around Cam Ward, and you mentioned Ryan Tannehill. I forget the coach, but they were together at A&M, and the whole thing that helped Tannehill kind of get off to the start that he did was, look, it was an extension of what he did at Texas A&M, the offense, right? And so just the same, Jaden Daniels, you know, last year, that's what Cliff Kingsbury did, a really good job incorporating concepts that he ran at LSU. We've seen it with Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that hit the ground running. That's what their plan is, to incorporate a lot of the stuff from Miami that Cam Ward did well into this current offense. And the beauty of it, I forget what question I asked that made Callahan speak on it, but he talked about how Cam has no problem saying he likes this or doesn't like that. And that's going to help sort through, okay, what do we need to get in here to make this young man feel comfortable? There is a plan that they have for him. Now, whether or not that plan works is a different story, but it absolutely exists.
By the way, Mike Sherman was the coach.
Mike Sherman, yeah.
A&M. And if you remember who the quarterback coach was that came from A&M, was Zach Taylor.
Yep, Zach Taylor is right. We did a story. Ben Baby and I did a story the one time that the Bengals and Titans played and Tannehill was a starter. And Zach Taylor was really great as far as helping with that. And it was crazy because I remember at the league meetings 2 years ago, I went up to him and I introduced myself. He said, no, you don't introduce. I know who you are. We did the Tannehill story. I said, all right, that's what's up.
There you go. All right, we're to your phones in an abbreviated TD Power Hour, 615-737-1025. We hit him next for TD, Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game. The company 1025 1063 The Game, an abbreviated TD Power Hour, live at First Horizon Park, where the Sounds take on the Norfolk Tide tonight. TD, do you have a thought, or do you want to go right to the phone?
Yes, quick thought. We touched on undrafted free agents, and there's a young man, a returner, and obviously we know this team, this franchise, they are desperately in need of somebody to take one back to the house. Well, this guy right here, he was a American Football Coaches Association All-American. His name is Virgil Lemons. And let me tell you, folks, 25 yards a punt return. 25. That's what he averaged. 602 yards total punt return yardage. Yeah, that's somebody to watch. He's a corner. He's 6 feet, 188, 190. definitely going to have my eyes on him.
Let's go to Mike. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike, thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So, TD, my main question is, with the additions of two receivers, three of you count Restrepo.
Yeah.
Is there even a place for Treylon Burks on this team, or is he going to have to ball out during preseason to even make the squad? Because I just feel like he strikes me as a candidate that's somebody that would be quickly cut. I wish we could get something for him, but, man, that trade with A.J. Brown, I know we've probably talked about this more than we ever should, but it's looking worse and worse as things go on.
Yeah, that's going to go down as one of the all-time doozies in franchise history. Look, Burks, the good thing, I hate to say being injured is good, but the good thing is that it kind of like holds a roster spot. So once he's activated, you know, they'll bring him along and maybe he could beat out one of those five other guys for those last basically two spots, because that's in essence what it comes down to. But he's more or less going to be competing against, you know, the Bryce Olivers, the Io Manners, man, ex-receivers. You know, Chimere Dike is going to work at multiple spots. So he's going to more compete at that X position, and he's going to have to double up as a returner, kick return. He's done that before. And he'll also, you know, have to get on that punt team, you know, as a gunner.
Just to follow up on your first point you made about Virgil Lemons, is the Jaquan Jackson thing, is that's over?
Yeah, look, it's very likely over. He was inactive, you know, for the last three or four games. I mean, you never know what work he put in over the offseason and how. I'm not going to count anybody out, but he's one of those guys, you know, that I'll probably say is outside looking in.
Let's go to Adam, who's up next here on the TD Power Hour. Adam, you're on with TD.
Hey, TD. So my question, I've led in with Jared in the last couple of weeks with, like, hey, I don't feel like the Titans have an opportunity to help Cam succeed. I just feel like as a whole, we suck so bad that he's going into a non-win situation. So do you think it's more likely, since you've seen him, that Cam puts us in position to make the playoffs, or that the team is looking to draft a quarterback as early as next year?
Oh, he faded away. Playoffs? Playoffs? Nah, man. Don't think playoffs right now, right? At least not this year. I highly doubt he's that. But, you know, to say that they're in a no-win situation, it's just not in me to have that give-up mindset. I'm always going to say there's a chance. And it's just because of things I faced in life, I'm never going to say there's no chance. So we're not going to agree there. We'll see what happens. I think Cam Ward is his personality, his makeup, from what I've observed and from what, you know, I've been told, he's going to be weatherproof, right? There's going to be some rainy days, some thunderstorms, but I think he's going to be able to fight through that. Because you look at the things that the path that he's taken, it's prepared him for this moment. So I don't think there's going to be an issue. It's going to be very important, and we talked about this on Talking with TD, you know, the three things. You got to have stability, the right situation, and talent around him. There's not much there now, but you have to continue to build and add on to it. I think he's going to be fine. I don't see them having to draft another quarterback for a bit. I believe Cam Ward is going to be exactly what this organization has needed.
Didi, what do you make of the fact that, like, Caleb Williams last year threw for 3,500 yards, 26 touchdowns, and six interceptions, and Jaden Daniels had very, very similar numbers. But Jaden Daniels' team was in the NFC Championship game, and Caleb's team won five games. And so it feels like the general consensus is Caleb had a bad year and Jaden's on his way. But then when I look at Caleb's stats, I'm like, doesn't look like – I think those are good stats for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, but you got to look at the game too. Like, watch – I mean, I'm not sure how many Commanders games you watched and how many Bears games you watched, but it was very clear when Jaden Daniels was on the field, like, everybody believed. Everybody
followed
him. I
watched both play
him.
The Titans, and I will say they both looked very different against the Titans.
Right. So that's one game. But, I mean, it literally – the mindset, just in talking to John Kime, who's in the locker room, ESPN, NFL Nation, Commanders reporter, He said, you know, they felt as long as Cam was on, or excuse me, as long as Daniels was on the field, they had an opportunity to win. So you got to go beyond the box score, beyond the box. And then look at what he did in the playoffs.
Sure. I guess I'm saying, like, I don't think Caleb is, you know, ruined or on the bad.
No, not at all. It's crazy to say that he's ruined. Whoever is saying that, you know, you got to fall back. And remember, it takes time. And he didn't have a horrible year.
James is up next. James, you're on with TD. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Again, Teron's always good having you on there.
Appreciate it.
One of my favorite. Yeah, you know this. I've said it 1,000 times. I just want to ask you this about the offensive line. How much do you think we've upgraded from the previous years? I believe we have tremendously, but I want to hear your take on that.
Yeah.
And my second question, I want you to address this, because Jared talks about this quite often. How do you feel like – how transparent are the Titans administration organization now with this new coach compared to the previous regime? We all know that the Predators are much more transparent than the Titans are. I know you don't cover the Predators, but I wish you just comment on both those two key questions, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank
absolutely,
you so much.
Absolutely. And I guess James is talking from a coaching perspective. Look, Mike Vrabel, that's – I'm a Mike Vrabel fan. Like, I really like Mike Vrabel. But I will say – Brian Callahan, who I'm also a fan of, I think Brian Callahan is much more transparent. Talking injuries, I mean, look, like he told us. If you remember, Jared, remember 2018, Rashawn Evans had it is like, what the heck is wrong with this man? Why is he? And then you remember the following year, Nate Davis were like, what is up with Nate Davis? Brian Callahan with Treylon Burks, hey, look, this is what it is. Oh, look. Sneed, this is what happened. You know what I mean? It's definitely a more transparency from that perspective. The conversation, the line of conversation is really good on both of their behalf. So I can't say one is more than the other as far as that conversation. But I do believe that overall this coaching staff is more transparent than the previous one. As far as the front office is concerned, it's more or less the same. No, it's not. Let me be honest. it's still good. I'll put it that way. It's still good. So you do have that. They're accessible, and I think that's the key, and that's something that I've appreciated about all three GMs that have been here, because I will tell you, in Philly, Howie Roseman, no. You weren't really getting to him, right? And I remember in Baltimore, Ozzie Newsome was there at the time, and if you saw him, yeah, you could holler at him, but there wasn't texting, there wasn't that type of back and forth, and even Eric DaCosta, not really much there. So this organization definitely, they're in a good place when it comes to dealing with media. I think they've done a good job of keeping leaks from coming out and things like that. So that's what I have to say about that. As far as the offensive line is concerned, Mike Borgonzi employed my favorite shopping strategy. I'm a big fan of buy one, get one free, right? Obviously, because it was buy one, get one free, and because it was something that's not normally out there on the market, they had to pay more than what they probably should have, right? The value may not be as supreme as it could have been, right? Dan Moore, they signed him to that deal. He plays left tackle. You flip Latham over to right tackle, and now I think you've solidified the bookends. Now, it's not the best in the league, but you solidified it. But to me, the ideal signing, the biggest signing, Kevin Zeitler. That veteran coming in here, that's great for Skoronski. It's great for Latham, who's next to him, and we'll see what happens at center. I think this offensive line is going to be solid. Again, they're not going to be the best in the league, but I think they're going to be solid.
You think it'll take them some time?
As always, anytime, you know, five guys. Like, it took you and David time to get on the same page, but it seems like you guys are on the same page now. You know what I mean? So it's going to take time. That's just a part of relationship.
And you can't practice offensive line play anymore.
Yeah, you can't practice it, but you could work on technique and work on steps and things like that. There's things that you could do Now, obviously, the physicality part of it, you know, you can't replicate that as much anymore, but you could definitely do things to, because here's what happens, right? When you get tired, you fall back on your technique. Like, that's what gets you where you got to go. So you could hone that and master that, and you've seen the practices, how Bill Callahan, you know, has gone about being able to make sure that the technique is right.
TD, great stuff as always. We'll be listening to Talking with TD. Enjoy Rookie Minicamp, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, for sure. And appreciate the short hour. Glencliff High School, been working with that football team, man. I love to get out there on the grass and looking forward to doing that. So I appreciate you cutting it short for me today.
Sure. Coach TD. Stillman and Company, we continue. 615-737-1025. With some credit, I've got to give somebody who's not getting a lot of it right now. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.